Well, thanks very much to our sponsors, who, as I said before, keep us going. But somebody else who keeps us going is Richard Makem. He's sitting in the studio with me. Morning, Richard.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
Now, Richard, you're the president of the Ahmadu Original Ratepayers Association, a.k.a. ARRA, and you had another pretty big eventful meeting last night at the bowling club.
Yeah. It was good to see a good roll up there. I thought it was such a miserable night, we might be lucky to have anyone turn up.
Yeah, it was a tough night, and everybody, I think, is just feeling a bit moist but cold. But, look, you had the General Manager of Ahmadu Regional Council, Mr. James Roncon, as your sort of guest speaker, but he didn't really speak, but he did answer quite a few questions. So what did the Ratepayers Association take out of that exchange, if you like, with James Roncon?
Well, I wouldn't quote it to the whole of ARRA taking out of it because I had time to talk to them.
But
my view was that I was very pleased to see everyone turn up, as well as some of the councillors.
Yeah.
We've got through, there was a reasonable amount of pressure let off both sides there during the night. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I've always found conversation or communication with James and council very useful, and I don't think we do it often enough. Some of the results we're getting are showing that around the region. You know, it's sort of, I don't know where those little scooters came from without a bit more training and talking, and I don't know where all these alternate power sources are suddenly springing from, but we could do better.
Yeah. Well, I think the little scooters are a private commercial enterprise that will possibly end in September. It's a 12-month trial. Yeah, no, it did upset a lot of people initially. I think they were wondering whether their rates had paid for them, but that's not the case. But notwithstanding that, there were sort of some slightly bigger issues on the
discussion. Water, Margaret.
Water everywhere.
We haven't got time to do weeds today. We hope it'll be dry enough to choke the weeds, but nothing else is going to do it by work of it. But the water is a major issue for this area, and if we want it to grow, we've got to do more.
Yes, the region seems to be, still kind of in a state of shock, really, after that 2019-2020 sort of very, very dry spell, when I think all records were pretty much broken in terms of how long can you go without decent rain and how low can the dam go, and we were down to sort of a few weeks off day zero, if you like, when the main water supply dam for Armidale was due to run out. And Gara had already run out of water and was having water trucked up there. So it was a pretty scary situation. So there's been quite a response to that, but not everybody's in agreement with the response, I suppose.
Well, Margaret, the pipeline that went back up there was, I think it was 48% efficient. You know,
I'm not being interviewed, so I won't offer. That was paid for by the state government, around about $13 million.
But the engineering design or whatever happened, surely we can do better with an uphill downhill water pumping than 48% efficient.
And the
bores. Who knows what's down there? We didn't do any research or any findings on whether they're connected or they're separate. There's 18 bores or whatever went down.
It was a very, very controversial time, and those bores that were attempted to find spare water in a crisis, some of the bores that were, ironically, they had a big impact, if you like, a bit of a drain effect on the council's water fund, I think. But having said that, those bores, some of them did find water, but very far down. And I'm not going to say too much.
Margaret, in another life, I've been involved in getting the artesian bores in the Artesian Basin in the north of Australia capped.
Mm.
And we learnt a lot from that exercise. We learnt that we were gradually losing pressure in our bores. People were using bore drains everywhere and just running it away. I'm only talking about this because we can dilute the underground water, even in something as big as that basin.
Mm.
We got the bores capped by getting subsidised piping because everyone was happy with their bore drains. We got subsidised piping, so everyone was happy enough
This was in North Queensland.
Yeah, well, coming down fairly well.
Right, okay. Into Queensland.
Yeah, and the first thing that happened was that the pressures went back up in the bores
right.
when we capped them.
And so your shallower bore started
so
to
that says to
operate more efficiently.
That says to me that massive basin can be affected by what we're wasting or misusing. Mm. Let's not sort of just punch bores down all over New England and hope for the best, because we've got no idea what size we're tapping or where we're getting it from.
That's right. And there's a lot of controversy about that, those very deep. I mean, most farm bores in this area go down about 70 to 100 metres, but not further. But one of those bores that was sunk during that sort of emergency period is 300 to 400. Mm. So it's a completely different strata.
And we have much research on whether it recharges, you know, and what happens. I've got a son out the other side of Mullally with a creek that runs past him.
Mm.
That creek disappears straight into the ground after the big drought.
Mm.
One of the neighbours, a well-known chap out there, wondered where his water was, and he had to come up and he found the water half a bank deep running down the creek and this going straight into the ground.
Dang.
These are things that we don't know much about.
Yeah.
And if we've got very, very fluctuating up and down weather going on, and just read AV weather report this morning for what's happening, and it's a bit scary. We've got a massive wet lot coming, but we all know behind massive wets is usually massive dries, you know,
right.
Sort of. And we're not prepared. We're no better prepared than we were last drought.
And this is one of the things. I mean, Australia's, you know, known as a land of droughts and flooding rains and all of that, but there is a prediction or a scientific assessment that climate change will bring much more frequent and much more extreme fluctuations in climatic conditions.
Well, we're seeing that, I think, regularly. And if the only thing certain about the weather is the uncertainty. At the moment, it's worse than normal.
That's right. So there were a lot of questions from the floor last night about the council's plans to produce a more secure water supply.
Mm.
Mm.
We've got the one that we hadn't followed up, and we probably all should have, was what happened to the money we were promised for the $27 million to put the extra wall on.
Mm.
Now,
it's
a lay down Mazaire that when you get a Labor government, that the tail that's wagging the dog, the green one, it always doesn't want money spent on dams and water. You know, it's, I don't know where they're going to get it from. It's but that we should have followed that through and noticed, and Adam probably should have helped us there to track that or let us know that it's gone.
So
it's not there.
So what we're talking about was the subject of discussion last night with the general manager and with members of ARRA that were in the audience. And it was the question that there was an understanding that the former state member, the Honourable Adam Marshall MP, had announced a $27 million grant available, or that he'd obtained that $27 million to raise the Malpas Dam wall by, I think, 6-odd metres or so. This is a design plan raising. It's not a brand new, it is a new planned construction, but it's the original design included that as a possibility as an engineer.
It's all ready to go. There's not much work to do except to get stuck into it and put it on there.
If you stand at the right angle, which I have been fortunate enough to do so, you can see there's a little tiny kind of U-shaped divot in the dam wall, and it's filling that. Of course, you know, from an engineering point of view, it's quite complex, but notwithstanding that, it was designed from the get-go to be filled to increase the holding capacity, in fact, to double the capacity of the Malpas Dam. So, but I suppose one of the big issues last night was, well, is this going to be done sooner or ever? Or anyway, over to you, Richard.
Well, I think we've got to really get back there. The other sources of water. I'm a great believer in doing them all. I think we've let Costas down, or whoever's there now in place of Costas.
Mm.
We've let them down. They said they were coming to build their sheds if that dam was fixed up.
Mm.
And then that was said to the government up in Gyre at the time, the local government. They didn't get around to it, and they got amalgamated with us. We've looked at it, talked about it, done nothing about it. And then all these other things we're talking with the bores and the pumping of the water and the dam wall. The thing that really concerns me on the amount of water we had, which someone said we're down to 33%, and I said, well, hang on, there's 15% of that's unusable.
Mm.
let's get real about how much water we've actually got. And we get that serious and that much trouble.
Mm.
We haven't done enough work yet to source water to fill that gap. We've got to get that wall done.
So what we're talking about is, and it's been under discussion, if you like, for some time, is the fact that there's a level of siltation at the bottom of any dam, but in the case of the Malpas Dam, it's quite a lot. And dealing with that, so that reduces the actual holding capacity over time as the silt builds up. There's less usable water capacity. Well,
not just that, Margaret, it's heavy metals. The heavy metals are the problem.
Mm.
And that's built up from a residue that's not, because the catchment is about 1.3% carbon average. Mm. That means you're not much over 12 mils an hour of rainfall infiltration and aeration. We badly need to have that whole catchment up to about 3%. Mm. That gives us 200 mils an hour. So, in other words, what I'm saying is that we need those figures are coming out of the United States. We need to get our own agronomy figures done on that situation.
Yep.
It's not hard to do, but we have to know that the last time you fly the super on, it's not caught by a storm and in the dam causing these problems. The loss of the phosphorus that Cocky's just paid for and badly wants is down there growing blue-green algae. How smart's this? We really need to get on top of these issues and make these things work. And the solution to a hell of a lot of it is as simple as biochar.
Mm.
That's the thing that locks it up and holds it, and that's the thing that helps raise that up there, as well as our grazing and farming management can help sequester carbon and make that happen.
Mm.
Now, they don't seem to want to look at that here, but a lot of the rest of the world is.
It certainly has been suggested, but anyway, like a lot of things, it needs more work, I think, to get the message through. So at the moment, there's a little bit of a debate of ideas, in a sense. So what the general manager was talking about, or what he was questioned about, related to another water project relating to the Oki Dam, the Oki Creek or River catchment. Mm. So what did you take?
Look, I don't know enough about the detail there. I know it's line ball for getting it to flow across here or pump it.
Mm.
The storage, it needs work. There's a lot of things. I'd say that the positive that for me is that it's a different rainfall catchment to what we're I'd love to see this one fixed up.
Mm.
But that one is I'd call it a backup, not a main event. Mm. That one there is fixed up to be a backup. Mm. But while we're doing that, we could be fixing these backups here. Gyrus wall can be fixed up and our wall can be fixed up. That catchment can be fixed up. There's all sorts of things that we could be working on.
Yeah, so look, I suppose the positive from last night's meeting is that there's no doubt, I guess, in the mind of the general manager now that the community is concerned about these options for creating water security. And I think it needs to be said too that the state government, you know, it's the fundamental responsibility for safe and secure water, if you like, for regional communities and all communities is with the state government. But local government, you know, has a role to play and is often and is involved in trying to design the hardware to hold the water. The water is said to belong to the state government. That discussion last night, I suppose, certainly raised those issues.
Well, James took us for a drive around and had a look at what the difficulties are at Gyra that needed fixing, and they were very considerable. I thought somewhere conservatively 30 to 40 million might clean up the problems at Gyra. After that, he brought us down and showed us Armidale. And he said that treatment plant there is built to handle 12,000 people.
Are you talking about the water treatment plant up on the hill?
There's both sides here, and it's all adding to the problem of our wastewater as well as our fresh water. You know, we've got a treatment plant that's built for 12,000 people, and we're trying to get 24 into it. And talk about bringing another 4,000 or 5,000 into the place. We can't even give them a drink of water, let alone in a drought, let alone what their waste going out, sort of thing. You know, we've got serious problems, and we're not getting stuck into
it. It's very constrained. Yeah, I remember being quite surprised when I made up my first visit, I think, to the water treatment plant, that basically the staff there and the local government staff, they have to more or less make an assessment as to how much water the community is going to want to use. They've got to treat that, and then that is basically sold to the community as treated drinkable potable water. But if they make too much, then that's wasted, and then there's a fee for discharging that into the waterways. But if they don't make enough, then, you know, that's also a problem. So,
and the I mentioned to somebody, I can't really talk about the name, but I mentioned to somebody who was actually in the know of what's happening in some of that. And I said, I believe you got fish dying 30 kilometres downstream. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he said, don't even worry about that. Because of this lack of water and this dirty bottom, he said, in a big storm, we get the roar of water down that flips the water in there. We get fish kills inside the dam. So if that's right, we've definitely need to start getting serious about cleaning the show up and taking this all very seriously. And what's the use? What's the use of having the green tail wagging the dog in Sydney if they can't look after the environment all over the place? You know, if that's what they're supposed to stand for.
So, look, the call to action here, I think, to our listeners is, if this is a matter that concerns you, the simplest way to get involved is to join the Ratepayers Association and start getting working on some of these working groups that...
We'd welcome people with special interests in various areas, and we're only just talking about water. There's the planning and the alternate power and what's going to happen to it when it's starting to wear out in 5-10 years. There's lots of other issues here. If people are interested, they can join subcommittees and help us work on these issues.
And look, you've got important subcommittees in a number of areas. And, I mean, obviously water's pretty much head front of mind, top of the list, if you like, last night. But some things that the Ratepayers Association are also concerned about is the airport and development.
Oh, air services, don't start me. No, it's a very serious business that I think I probably told you last time that I was talking, that my mother used to sit behind the bloke who started Qantas and he'd fly to school in a two-seater plane with a pair of goggles on. You know, it was sort of, we've been around in services in the bush for a long time, my particular family, and I'm horrified to see what's arriving now. Or what people like Hudson Fysh would have said about it if he could see what's happened to his airline, with what's delivering the nonsense we just saw with the management of it.
Are we talking about Rex?
I'm talking about Qantas right now. Rex. Somebody said that they might be bought by Thai Airways and be called T-Rex. maybe we need a T-Rex out there.
If that's an apocryphal story or not, that I was going to mention to the listeners just the latest sort of information that suggests that the federal government may be coming to sort of help Rex reorganise its governance a bit and get it back to its knitting, which is regional air services.
Well, I think we need the bush to stand up and be heard a bit. And yeah. I was very, very, very pleased to see the other day Michelle Bullock coming, you know, a girl who's grown up in the bush.
Went to Michelle's...
Yeah, I was there.
Perhaps you could share some of that, because I didn't get to that. And, of course, for the listeners, Michelle
she was Bullock, brilliant.
Born in Red Armidale.
Yeah, but she's
the governor of the Reserve Bank, and she's the poor lady that fronts the nation and says yes or no to another interest rate rise.
Well, she actually knows what regional means. She knows what the outback or the bush means, and she knows that they have huge roles to play in the economy of the country with what they're producing. And they're doing it under a lot of stress. The rail's not working. The roads are in trouble. The airline's not working.
Yeah.
And we've got staff problems. There's all sorts of problems in the bush. You drive around some of these bush towns, it's not just the violence that's going on the streets after dark. There's shops shut and things all over the place.
What did Michelle, I wasn't planning to ask you about this, but seeing as you've volunteered, that you heard Michelle talk, what were the key points that she made at that address she gave? I think it was with Rotary or whatever. She was a guest of Rotary.
Yeah, but I'm the last person to ask about Michelle's subject, but I was most impressed with the fact that she came across as very aware of our problems and trying to, as much as possible, keep them as part of their solution. the solution isn't large capital cities. The solution is keeping the whole country going. And Michelle's more than aware and spoke about that than most of the people we would expect to see in that role.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really good.
We don't have many friends at court.
We don't. But Michelle Bullock, Armidale girl, made good, went to UNE.
UNE, Albie College, born in Darwin. She knows where we all are and what our troubles are.
Yeah, and a long-term sort of employee or long-term at the Reserve Bank, so she's got a really great reputation within the bank as well.
Oh, yeah. Came across as she made it all understandable even for people like me. And she was most impressed with the school kids down the back who asked very, very good questions. She interpreted them and answered back and went down and spoke with them after she'd finished speaking. Well, I thought it was wonderful.
That was fantastic. Oh, good on you, Michelle Bullock, Governor of the Reserve Bank and Armidale High School and University graduate.
Yep.
Well, I suppose one thing we shouldn't miss is that one of the messages from going back to the ARRA, the Ratepayers Association meeting last night, was that the general manager, I suppose, made it quite clear that the advice at the moment is that the Oakey Dam project be done before the raising of the Malpas Dam wall. And I think that was not universally supported in the audience. And that kind of morphed, into that question of, well, where is that $27 million that was promised but seems to not?
Well, if we're going to just let that one go and let it go through to the keeper instead of chasing it up and getting it applied again, this is a sort of a fallback situation which doesn't really have the capacity, with this terribly uncertain weather, who's to say that's not going to be dry out there we're going to put all our eggs in that basket when this basket's not finished. And I've been watching at Urundanji, I've been watching the Maloon Institute cleaning up the bottom of the creek there and slowing it all down and then fixing it up. I don't know whether that's in I've never asked Bill whether they're intending when the wall's raised it goes back that far or what's happening, but that shows me that there's interest in the area of cleaning up, but I'd like to see that go to the top of Ben Lomond, not just here in Dangie.
Hear, hear. I'm a great fan of what the Maloon Institute does in terms of a rehydrating landscape.
Well, they're doing a massive job in Western Australia and they're only doing half that job in here.
Mm.
I'd like to see them apply it a little, and I wonder who's slowing them back. Mm. I'm really concerned about what's slowing the Maloon not doing what they do in Western Australia here.
Very, very interesting. We've just about run out of time, Richard, but
sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going into a brief hiatus, but I can tell you that towards the end of September and into summer, as spring and summer, let's have you back and we'll talk about the renewed energy that the ratepayers has. Now you've got a few more people on the executive committee and, look, it was...
We always need more. Thank you, Margaret.
It was a really interesting, stimulating meeting last night and I would recommend myself, but of course the call to action is join and get involved because there's a lot of work to do.
Thank you
so much, Richard.